Thanks, Carla. I think that there's a great deal to agree with the propositions that Seth has set forward, and I think it's enormously important that Rebecca offers us a model of how working class people can organize and place demands and advance in this situation. Clearly, I think we all agree that the crisis that we face with regards to climate is at the level of a threat to survival. And there's absolutely no doubt, therefore, that to speak in terms of or to make comparisons to a war footing is, I think, is a compelling one and an interesting one and an important one, and by no means an invalid one. But I do want to put forward some qualifying considerations that I think are significant and important. We do live in a society in which there are divided class interests. And in that situation, there is a class struggle that unfolds and is ongoing. And I think we need to include that very much in our thinking and in our considerations as we discuss these questions. World War II unquestionably saw an incredible effort of will on the part of the ruling establishment. There's no doubt that that's true. But at that time, the strategic considerations and the need to win the war and the need to triumph in the rivalries of the day were of paramount importance. The comparison to the situation today is not exactly the same by any manner of means. Any rational person would agree that in the face of a climate crisis that confronts us with the population, with the prospect of populations being decimated and civilizational collapse, that taking the measures necessary to avert that situation and to deal with it effectively are of enormous importance. But there is, on the other side, another consideration. And I think it's one that John Bellamy Foster puts forward very, very well in his Capitalism and the Anthropocene, that we do live in a society in which there is a treadmill of production and in which the drive to accumulate is enormously powerful. And that creates a situation where it is possible for the scientific evidence to be overwhelming, but for fossil fuel interests to develop strategies of stalling and greenwashing as they go on emitting carbon, and for governments to unfortunately act in their interests. And so that creates a situation where the class struggle reasserts itself in terms of its importance. There is, of course, an enormous need to transition away from destructive forms of production and energy sources. But as we agree, the term just transition is the absolutely vital one. And that doesn't come automatically. I see in the UK the question raised of North Sea oil workers. The work that they are doing needs to be phased out and phased out very rapidly. But there is it is absolutely essential there not be a repeat of what happened to the miners. And that applies lividly here in Canada, in whole parts of the in whole parts of the country. And so there's an absolute necessity to introduce into this discussion the need to defend working class interests as we move forward, both in terms of pushing for transition, but also to defend working class interests. We don't want a Climate War Measures Act. We must defend our rights. We must defend the right to strike. We must defend against the attack that is taking place on migrants and immigrants at the moment. The solutions that were advanced and the measures that were taken during the Second World War period included the internment of Japanese Canadians, and that casts a shadow over the situation today. So there must be a level of independence, of working class independence that's involved in these struggles. When it comes to the impacts that we are dealing with from climate change, we've just seen the horror that unfolded in Valencia, in the floods that arose there. The need to actually ensure that measures of protection, adaption, response are there won't, in my opinion, simply be won by putting forward a good plan to governments. It's going to require working class movements actually struggling for these things. We need to ensure that the cooling centres, the emergency responses, the strengthened healthcare systems, the strengthened transportation systems, and all the things that we're going to need in this situation are there, and we can't by any means assume that they're going to be provided by the kind of governments that we have today. There will be one, I would suggest, in struggle. So that's the vital consideration that what I believe to be a vital consideration that I wanted to make my contribution to the discussion today. We are facing a dire crisis, but there is an acute need for us to, accept that the notion of all working together for the common good, the notion that we're all in this together, doesn't actually go very far. There is a need for distinct, clear, independent working class action to be part of this situation. And I would finally say, when it comes to the role of the state, that absolutely we need to be pushing for measures to be taken by the state. We need to place our demands before the state. It is absolutely true that at the moment, this existential crisis is being responded to as a down the list of issues to deal with kind of an item, and not being responded to as it needs to be. So we need to actually win measures of transition, and we need to win measures of protection in the face of dire climate impacts that are unfolding, and that's absolutely essential. But I also think, in terms of the orientation of our movement on this question, I think there's a reason why they're gathering in Baku at the moment and bringing together fossil fuel lobbyists and engaging in evasion and deception. I think that fundamentally, while we must fight in the here and now and win what we can, I do think that an eco-socialist perspective is a very, very important one. I think we do live under an economic and social system that has shown itself to be unwilling and incapable to build a sustainable relationship with the natural world. So, yes, there needs to be a war. But frankly, I think the class war has to be a very, very big part of that. Thank you.